Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Beaver Dam. I am your host, James Hudson. Joined along with Floyd Kurjovic. Floyd is a little out of breath. He had to sprint over here because he was late to the show. But he will join me in a second once he catches his breath. We have a jam-packed show today. A lot of stuff going on in the world of sports, especially the NFL. And to start it, we're going to be starting with the Cleveland Browns and OBJ. The Cleveland Browns have acquired Odell Beckham Jr. in a trade with the New York Giants.
We were going to say New Orleans Saints,
were
you?
I almost said it, yeah. The Giants, they were able to get a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and Jabril Peppers from the Browns. And the Browns got in return one of arguably the best wide receivers in the game right now. Floyd, what are you thinking about this trade?
I don't know what the Giants were thinking by making it. I mean, yeah, you get your real preppers. Yeah, you get a first-round pick, but you've just given the Browns the most dangerous receiving corps in the league.
Yeah. It's definitely a huge thing for the Browns. It's going to make their offense a lot more dangerous, you know, having Jarvis Landry,
yeah,
along with Baker Mayfield. You have Nick Chubb in the backfield. You have Njoku there at tight end.
Yeah, and they've all proven throughout the season that they are great players. Like Landry, look at all the stuff they did with him.
Yeah. You good there, Floyd?
Yeah. Sorry, I got distracted by the Division 2, which dropped today, and it finished downloading like an hour ago, and completely forgot I had this to do.
Yeah, it's definitely a big thing for the Browns. That's going to make their season a lot better, I do believe. You know, a lot of people are talking that the Browns are Super Bowl contenders now. I mean, I definitely think that could potentially be it, but I wouldn't get a hold of ourselves.
Their odds doubled.
We've seen the Browns. We have seen the Browns.
Yeah, but look at the division.
Yeah, the division's not going to be good anymore. The Bengals are bad. The Steelers lost Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. They're going to be bad. The Ravens are going to be really bad. Like, it's the Browns. It's the Browns.
It's literally the Browns division to lose. Yeah. But Lamar Jackson, I think it was the worst idea ever for them to trade away Flacco and put Lamar as the centerpiece. Mm-hmm. Because as you can see, the Browns demonstrated how to beat them. The Chargers demonstrated how you beat them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like can't think of a word. I don't think the Steelers. Yeah, Big Ben's not going to be a threat. Lamar Jackson's not going to be a threat. It's going to be up to the Ravens' defense to do everything again.
Yeah, that's definitely a big thing. And the Browns finishing last season 7-8-1, adding a lot of big names to their lineups will really help improve their offense. And one of those names being running back Kareem Hunt. Hunt, you might have heard of, being in some trouble with the law with a domestic violence suit earlier this year. The NFL just came out with Hunt's
suspension,
excuse me, 8 games. He will be allowed to take part in the pregame, or not the pregame, the preseason games. His suspension doesn't start until August 31st, which would be the first day of final roster. So he can play in preseason stuff, but that first 8 games of the regular season, he's out of there.
I guess he gets to show us what he's made of. But
I mean, I don't think it's too bad. I mean, it'd be different if the Browns didn't have another running back. But you know, we have two really good running backs in Chubb and Johnson, and it's whatever. I don't even know why we. I mean, obviously, Kareem Hunt's really good running.
Yeah,
back.
That's why they signed him, because
he's
a really
Nick
good
Chubb
running back.
Played so good last season.
Yeah.
That, I mean, these first 8 games, everybody's talking about how it's going to be a huge issue, and I mean, Chubb did great last season, so I don't know why it's going to be such an issue.
I more or less feel like it's more of an issue like disrespect to Chubb that you bring in Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, that's definitely a big thing. I mean, Hunt's great. Hunt's young. He's, you know, he's just like Odell. They're both in their prime right now, ready to make something happen here in a city that's really wanting a championship.
Yeah, then why did you draft Chubb?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you had, you know.
Like, I can see the benefit of having both of them back there, having this dynamic dual threat running back system. Mm-hmm. But you traded away Carlos Hyde.
Yeah,
who was doing pretty good.
Yeah, he wasn't doing bad.
He was having a good season.
Yeah.
And you traded him away to give Chubb the reins. Say, Chubb, you're our running back, you're our man. And I feel a little disrespected.
Yeah, I would definitely be a little concerned, but it's still a huge thing for the Browns. I mean, we haven't seen big names like this coming into the Browns in a very long time. I mean, who's the last huge name player that you remember playing for the Browns? Other than a long string of first-round QB draft picks, because that's all we ever...
I was going to say, are you talking other than Joe Thomas?
I mean, yeah, Joe Thomas,
Phil Dawson?
You remember him?
Kicker.
Yeah.
The kicker that was sometimes literally the only reason the Browns scored points.
Yeah.
Because he could kick these insane 50-yard field goals.
But it's definitely a huge thing for the Browns to be getting these players. You know, even with 8-game suspension, Kareem Hunt will eventually be a dynamic aspect to the lineup. Him and Chubb will be a really great backfield. You know, you have Jarvis Landry, Antonio Callaway?
I at least know his last name's Callaway.
Yeah, you have Jarvis Landry. I mean, those are three really great wide receivers.
Odell.
And then you have
David and Njoku. And with the tight end.
And the Browns are starting to work on their defense. They just signed Davavius Thomas or whatever from the Chiefs. They've got one of the best D lines in the NFL right now.
I forget his name, but they did just sign one of the Vikings' best defensive linemen.
Oh yeah, they have,
and he was having a breakout season.
Yeah, I saw on ESPN that the Browns' defensive lineman is one of the best in the NFL right now.
Yeah, like the Browns, the only thing that is a question mark to me is our secondary.
The only thing that's a question to me is it's the Browns. They'll find a way to blow it up again.
But look at them.
Yeah.
This is not the same Browns I've seen in past.
That's very true.
Like, the coaching staff, they're all competent. The GM, look what he's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like the Browns are finally getting the foundational pieces in their organization down to where they can make an actual team.
Yeah, it definitely seems like they're starting to make an impact in the NFL. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we have more sports coming at you live here on the Beaver Dam. You're listening to 96.1 The Wit.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
We are back here to the Beaver Dam 96.1, The Wit, James Hudson, joined along with Floyd Kerjovic. We just talked NFL, more importantly, the Browns getting their big names back, and right now we're going to jump into some college hoops. We have a lot of the conference tournaments going on right now, leading in to Selection Sunday, which is this coming Sunday, and to start off, the Ohio State Buckeyes, they did win their first game in the tournament, but today lost a heartfelt game in the quarterfinal of the Big Ten tournament to Michigan State, ranked number 6 in the nation, 77-70. A lot closer than I really expected, Floyd.
Oh, yeah. But we can all take heart in the fact knowing that Ohio State secured their spot with their last week win, and they ruined Indiana's chances of getting in.
They did. Ohio State will more than likely make it into the March Madness tournament, which is huge for the Buckeyes. They've made the tournaments recently, but it's been a while since they've made a run. Maybe they'll come out and surprise everybody this year.
No.
Well, you never know. Last year 16-1. I don't want to hear it.
This is Ohio State.
I don't want to hear your negativity.
All they care
about
is football.
Anything can happen.
Okay.
I don't have the page pulled up, but I did want to talk real quick about the Toledo Rockets basketball team. We had talked about them a couple times this year because they were just on fire, 20-4, 21-3-4, you know, going hot, and they ended up losing in one of their first games in the MAC tournament. And so that was a devastating loss for the Toledo Rockets.
I laughed.
I was really rooting for them to make it into March Madness. That would have been a huge, huge thing for them to make it into the tournament.
It would have been. When I saw they lost, I forget what seed they lost to.
There could still be a chance. I mean, they went like 21 or 22-5 over the entire season. I mean, there's still a chance, but I'm not sure what the numbers are on it. But I was really disappointed when I saw they lost. I know Bowling Green won their game, but Toledo lost, and I was pretty devastated. I thought I was really rooting for them.
If they are not in the first four in, the first four out, or the last four byes, they are right now not in the field of 64.
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
So it's pretty slim if they make it.
Hey,
they had to win their
tournament. So you're saying there's a chance. Anyway, next game I wanted to talk about tonight, Floyd, Duke and North Carolina. You know, Zion Williamson is back. Duke had a great game against Syracuse last night.
Yes, and he's got his new Kyrie Irving shoes.
Yeah, he's wearing Kyrie's now, not PG's. Can't have him ripping out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, can't have him costing his knee twice now.
Duke ranked number 5 in the nation right now, North Carolina sitting at 3. And there's going to be, you know, this could be the fight between the number 1 seed in this division.
Yeah, and if I remember right, SportsCenter was saying that they've never lost to North Carolina 3 times in one season.
That is, all right, well, and they've lost twice.
Yeah.
So let's see, but both times Zion Williamson got hurt.
Well, he got hurt in the first one and wasn't able to play the second one. He didn't get hurt twice.
Well, he hasn't played.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
He has played like a total.
The deciding factor.
If I remember right, they did a by the numbers on that, and I think it was like 36 seconds. This is the total time combined between both games he's played.
So he could be the deciding factor between that game. That game's tip off is at 9 o'clock this evening on ESPN. And what do you think the outcome of that game's going to be, Floyd?
Let's see. I think Carolina is going to focus way too much on stopping Zion, because if you did not see his performance against Syracuse, where he went 13 for 13 and was just unstoppable, except he said he could improve more on his free throws. He was 2 for 9, so he was telling people that he wasn't perfect. He has stuff to improve on still, but they're going to have to do something to stop Zion, because they're going to feel the full force of his effect in the game. And I feel like they're going to compensate too much to stop him. And I think Duke is going to win by 13.
All right, that's a pretty good prediction. Duke does have the odds to win this game. I think you're right. I think it's going to be a good game. I think Duke's going to pull it out, mainly because they are going to focus a lot on Zion. And Duke has a lot more assets to their team than just Zion Williamson.
Yeah,
so.
But when Zion's going and causing trouble, then the other assets are just like golden.
Yeah, so I definitely think Duke's going to win it. I wouldn't say 14. I'd say maybe 10.
I said 13.
Gonna, 13, okay, sorry. I think it's going to be a little closer just because North Carolina's still a good team. You know?
So. Nah. Nah, the ACC, they're not known for anything. They're not good at basketball. Who said they're good at basketball, man?
I don't know. I can't remember. Was it you?
No.
Okay.
Because I just said they weren't.
Well, we're going to take another short break, Floyd. And when we come back, Bluffton baseball and softball kicked off their seasons during spring break in Florida. We will have some numbers on those. When we come back, you're listening to the Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
And we're back here to the Beaver Dam 96.1 The Wit. James Hudson joined along with Floyd the Man Kredrovic. I can't get a good nickname for you, Floyd. Gotta think of a good radio nickname for you.
The football team just normally calls me Floyd Money.
Floyd Money? I don't know. I don't know if I like that.
Well,
we need something more original.
Well, you got an entire week to think of it.
I do. Well, we're jumping into Bluffton Sports. The baseball team opened up their season this past week, in Florida, for the opening spring break tournament. Looks like the guys won their first 2 games, lost their next 4, won their next 3, and then to complete the week, lost their last 2. And then they were supposed to play against Ohio Northern a few days ago. That game got canceled due to weather conditions. But yesterday they ended up going and playing Hiram, and they lost that game 15-3. The guys have played 12 total games. I got to find their record here. Record is 5-7. Of course, they haven't played any conference games.
Right.
But they've lost three straight, so that's something that coach is probably looking to improve on. Batting overall, their batting average is .253, which is not horrible. Could be a lot worse. On-base percentage of .343 and a slugging percentage of .399. The team has 9 home runs as a team, and 6 of those is coming from senior outfielder Colin Gregory with 6 home runs on the year. He has 43 at-bats. He's batting an outstanding .349 from home plate.
Wow.
He's got an on-base percentage of .375 and a slugging percentage of over .900. Great. He's having a great start to the year.
Yeah, that...
He's got 15 hits, 4 doubles, a triple, and 6 home runs.
That is just amazing. I'm at a loss for words.
That is. He has 1 stolen base, but leading in stolen bases right now is Reed Rule, sophomore outfielder. He has 7 stolen bases on the year, and that is a great deal for Bluffton. Bluffton is looking to improve on some things, but overall, they're not looking too shabby. 5-7 to start out, you know, playing a lot of teams from different states in the opening tournament, so you never know what to expect, but now they're back here in the States playing teams that they've played,
States.
Okay, back here in, you know what I mean, in Ohio State. You know what I meant, Floyd. Goodness. Anyway, now that they're back here in Ohio, and they're going to be playing teams that they've played years and years before, so they're going to know a little bit of what to expect, at least. So.
Yeah, I mean, you'll definitely have scouting reports, and you can always it'll be a lot easier to scout these teams out than teams from another state, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And on the other side of the diamond, we have the Bluffton University softball team, who also went down to Florida to play in the Sunkist Games opening tournament, and they did not have as much luck in their opening tournament. Lost their first 3, picked up a couple in the middle of the week, and then ended up losing their last 5 games of the tournament. All of those games were decently close, though. No real blowouts there. So I just think that, you know, it probably is one of those things. You know, you get close to the end and you're tired. You know, they don't have a lot of roster, a big roster, and that could have been their issue. Their record right now is 2-8. Again, nobody's really played conference games yet, so there's plenty of time for them to improve. But overall, it hasn't really been that bad. I mean, their batting average is .301, on base of .369, slugging percentage of .399. They only have 3 home runs in the year, but I mean, batting average of .301 as a team, that's really not bad.
Yeah, I mean, no, that definitely
isn't.
You know,
it could have just been one of those things. Again, you're playing teams that you've never really played before, and it could have just been one of those things, like they surprised you, you know?
Yeah, and you never know what to expect when you play teams out of state.
That's very
because
true.
Because you get no background information on what they do, who they have, or like what their players are. All you would have is maybe some old statistics from last season, but who knows what they can do this season, you know what I'm saying?
That is true. That is true. Some standouts for the Beavers is Megan Hill Jr. batting .367 with an on-base percentage of .424 and a slugging percentage of .533. She is playing pretty good softball right now. And also out there is Junior Courtney Jasinski. She has 10 hits on the year, 2 doubles, batting .278 from the plate. She also has a stolen base. Leading the stolen bases for the Beavers softball team looks to be number 12, Sydney Bowen. She has 2 stolen bases on the year. It's not too bad for the softball team.
No, it may be just they might just be struggling to get some runs late, and that's
absolutely, yeah,
that's about it. Like baseball, softball, I guess, if you've. But, it's the same as baseball. I mean...
Yeah, same rules.
Like, sorry, I'm losing my words right now. You have those games where you're playing really well, and then you have those games where it just seems like it's impossible to do anything. Mm-hmm. But it's... From all the stats you've been reading off, it sounds like they're just maybe struggling to close out a game, or they're just... having some trouble scoring some runs.
Yeah.
But
all in all, it's both baseball and softball. I'm sorry, I keep calling them, trying to say they're both baseball. I have not like commentated on softball before, so it might happen a couple more times. But both the baseball and softball team, it's out. Like you said, they haven't played anyone in conference yet. I mean, who knows what can happen? They've both have shown promise with their individual stats. And who knows what the rest of the season will hold for both of them.
Absolutely. Softball team was supposed to play Kalamazoo today, but those games did get canceled due to weather. Their next games are going to be March 18th against Otterbein. Those games will be here at Bluffton University. So if you have time, come on out and support the Bluffton softball team. Floyd, do you have anything to add for this episode?
I will say this. That is the one thing that did suck about playing baseball at this time in Ohio, because there was a JV game I played in high school where it was literally snowing as we were playing the game.
Ooh, that'd be rough.
Yeah.
That would be
so
rough.
It sucks to see to hear all these games getting canceled already, but it's Ohio.
Yep.
So you never know what it is.
70 yesterday, and now it's 40 degrees again.
Boo.
I know. Anything else, Floyd?
Have a great, wonderful weekend.
Absolutely. And that wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us on Monday. Check out previous podcasts, search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, the WIT 961 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Beaver Dam 961. For more stories and information, check out our website, blufftonwit.com, and subscribe. This has been James Hudson, joined along with Floyd Money Krajovic, and we... And we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll Beavs.